You are listening to Law and Gospel. Here we go on this September the 19th in the year of our Lord 2017. It's a Rumination Tuesday where we will be looking at this hymn, Salvation Unto Us Has Come, and we're going to be doing it with our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. I was just thinking, how long do you think it would take if we listened to that hymn through all 10 verses?
Well, this,
it almost took a whole minute and a half for just one verse.
Well, okay, let's do that. Then we don't have to talk.
Yeah, it's a long hymn.
I kind of doubt we're going to get through it all.
No, I would think not. But there's a lot of good theology in here.
Well, that's because it was written by Martin Luther.
That's right. That's right. I don't even have to look at that. Right? Oh, it wasn't.
I can't believe
it. It sounds like one of his hymns.
I can't believe you don't listen to your wife.
Paul Spiritus.
Make sure you see who the composer is before Baker asks you.
Well, we sing this hymn all the time. You know, it's one of the old good Reformation hymns.
No. I would have guessed.
Sing it all the time.
In fact, he died just a couple, 4 years or five before Luther died.
Right.
So it's a Reformation hymn, but boy, does he have some good hymnody.
Oh, man.
This is why, you know, with these contemporary services, the reason I don't like them isn't because of the music, because at St. Paul de Pere, they have contemporary, but it's excellent music and such, and hymns like this.
Right.
But a lot in non-Lutheran churches, they're always talking about themselves and what they're doing and all this. We have here a mini sermon.
Right. Oh, yes. In fact, it's not even a mini sermon.
No, that's...
If you preached all this to your people, they might complain. It might get a little long for them.
Yes. In fact, just reading the verses is going to take 10, 12 minutes.
But it is good. There's so much good theology in here.
Yes. Rather than wasting time like we are, read the verse stanza, please.
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer.
We're not even out of the first stanza. And they're talking about the essence of the Reformation.
Yes.
I always have said, but I borrowed it from someone, I can't remember who, that the real item in the Reformation was not about sin. Roman Catholics disagree with sin as much as we did. But what was the place of good works in your salvation? And I always have said, they said you're saved by faith. Plus works, Lutherans say, works don't make any difference at all.
Faith alone.
And listen what that says. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never.
That's right.
Now, this isn't, in fact, I'm preaching today at chapel, so we're going to leave a little early. And once more, I found in the reading they gave me a contradiction against Lutheran theology. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about that, how almost every week I find a passage or more than a passage in the three readings that seem to contradict Lutheran theology.
That seem to contradict.
Yes, there never is a contradiction.
No contradiction.
And we're going to talk about how we unrail the contradictions, how we solve them. But to tell a human being who's not a Christian that your good works don't help or save you ever doesn't make any sense to them. And the reason it doesn't make any sense is that in the temporal realm, that's how life works.
Right. It means all the difference in the world.
I tell you. you do a test and you don't get any of the answers right, you're not going to go to the next. You're at work and you're late getting there, have long lunches, leave before your job is done. You're not going to get a promotion.
Right.
So people, when they invent religions, and every religion invented by human beings has this characteristic. Here's what you need to do. Very good. Yes. You're a good Lutheran, Mark. And people just don't understand that a lot of times. It's so much part of the old Adam.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But this, they help and save us never. Yeah, they help us never. Because if they would, then that would answer the question, why are some saved and others aren't? And God says, well, because some did good works, and I decided to save them.
Now, maybe you better clarify yourself. Good works do benefit. There is some benefit in doing good, not for our salvation at all.
Right.
But we do benefit our, you know, we come to faith and we benefit our fellow man by
well,
doing good works.
Favorite passage of yours, Ephesians. We're saved by
grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ.
And then the next verse, remember, talks about that we might fulfill the works that God has done for us from before the creation.
Right.
So the point is such a simple one. I don't know why people can't understand it. There is not a good works that a baby who needs to be adopted can do in order to be adopted. But once they're adopted, then they do all kinds of good works. They eat the food they're given. They sleep in the bed. They wear the clothes. But therefore, that's such a simple point that no good work can come until after the adoption, until they're a member of the family.
You learn a lot about faith from raising kids, don't you?
Well, are you saying because it was clear they were sinners?
Raising kids.
Yeah, I know.
Teaches us a lot about our God's love for us.
Yes. Yes, because our love wanes sometimes.
Yes.
Whereas God's never does. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you more.
Right. Well, and the point is, no matter how much kids misbehave,
right,
that doesn't change your love for them.
No. Well, in some parents, it does. Because they beat the kids and things like that.
That's bad.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. I'll read stanza 2. What God did in his law demand, and none to him could render, cause wrath and woe on every hand, for man, the vile offender. Our flesh has not those pure desires the spirit of the law requires, and lost is our condition. There is so much in that I've often said, God isn't interested in looking at the good work you do. He's always interested in looking at the motivation. And that's what this verse says. You know, our flesh has not pure desires the spirit of the law requires. Most people don't realize that. They look at the outward observance of the law on the part of others and say, well, that's a good person. I just heard that recently. I mean, I'm watching a lot of these.
They don't realize what might be the ulterior motive of that person.
Exactly. I'm watching these movies again. Who was that? Levy, who got murdered, and they thought for a while it was a congressman.
Shonda Levy. Yeah, yes, right. The lady that, I think she was jogging in Central Park, right?
It appears she was. They found her body later.
Right.
It wasn't Central Park. It was something like
In Washington, D.C. That's right. It was in Washington, D.C.
But they did a three-part series. I was interested in it. And they kept saying how wonderful a person she was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She had already had affairs with two or three other married men before she had the affair with this congressman. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we feel bad that she was a victim. You know, not, you know, deserving
right.
what
course.
Happened to her. But the idea that she was a good person, you know, from a point of view of God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. None of us are good.
No, none of us are good.
We're all sinful from conception.
And it was, even the movie even said that she enjoyed going after older men who were married. You know, I mean, that's and having an affair with them. And you just look at that and you wonder, wow. By the way, they still haven't caught the killer.
They still haven't.
Yeah, they thought they did. They had a trial and he got out. Then they found out that the person in prison who snitched against him had lied about it. And so they had to let him go, who was an illegal alien here from Mexico or no, San Salvador. But it was really interesting to watch that. And I'm looking at that and seeing, boy, whoever wrote this has no understanding of Lutheran theology.
Probably not.
Not at all. I mean, I can't believe how many of these programs.
You mean you're surprised at that, Tom?
Well, one would figure. But, of course, in today's society, it doesn't matter. It's one thing to have a relationship with someone who's not married. But to have a relationship with someone who is married, what are you doing to the wife? Of that person.
You're a homebreaker.
Yeah, you absolutely are. Absolutely are. And the church needs to really speak out. God's not going to be fooling around with this.
No.
I mean,
Well, it's like he says in his word, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Yes.
It's the law now. It's not the gospel.
Well, that's why I love this verse. What God did in his law demand, none of us could render. Isn't that is so good? I've said this about the law, which is really different in Lutheranism than others. The first thing about the law that everyone agrees, it's a demand from God. The second thing about the law is nobody can obey any of it perfectly.
Right.
Not perfectly at all.
Our flesh has not those pure desires.
Exactly.
The spirit of the law requires.
Yes.
Lost is our condition.
And when you run into a Bible that is so confusing from a human point of view, for instance, I don't know if you decide what you're preaching on this Sunday, but there's that parable about the fellow who hires individuals at different times and pays them all the same wage.
Oh, yes.
I love that. Because forget about this minimum wage, $15. You can hire 5 women at 7, 9, 11, 12, and 1, and hire 1 man at 4, he only works 1 hour, and give him all the same money, according to the Bible.
Yeah. You're going to get in trouble again this day.
See,
it's Tuesday.
Well, no, my point is, you're going to get in trouble because the women will sue.
Right.
And they'll win.
Yeah, right.
So the idea that the Bible is to be taken as to how we are to live in the temporal realm is dead wrong. It's talking about how God operates in the spiritual realm. It's a very simple distinction.
Yeah. Well, it is for us, but not for people that don't have the Holy Spirit.
I said that in a sermon. I said, I don't know if any of you are managers at McDonald's, but I tell you, it doesn't matter how many hours they work, everybody gets the same pay.
Yeah.
And they looked at me. Well, that's what Jesus says in this parable. And so, again, an apparent contradiction in the Bible against what we believe to be true, because it's not true that in Lutheran theology, you pay a person the same amount no matter how long they work during the day. But Jesus, his parables always, in my opinion, are ridiculous. They don't fit with how, like the lost sheep. Who goes and finds a lost sheep, 100-pound stinking sheep, and puts it on his shoulders?
Leaves 99.
And leaves 99.
Out in the field.
Unbelievable.
And goes for the one lost sheep.
Yeah. It makes no sense at all. So, and passage after passage. In fact, preaching now
The lost son, you know. And he's welcome back.
Yes.
Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and kill the fatted calf.
Yeah.
And the son that had been there all along. You know,
you never did that for me.
No. So, and you know, that parable in particular, a lot of people think, well, he's got a point. That older son has a point.
Well, of course he has. In fact, it's the point that the Pharisees used to crucify Jesus.
Yeah, right.
He was being fair to prostitutes and tax collectors when God isn't fair, according to them.
Right.
Remember, they say, thank God I'm not like that other person. You know that. Tax collector, because I tithe, I fast. They don't even use the moral law to back them up. They use the temporal law. But, you know, on that prodigal son, Pastor Peter Kurowski, you know him well, was my co-pastor at the time. And while I was reading that from the lectern as the reading of the day,
yes,
he and the youth were acting it out.
Oh, boy.
And so at the end, when the father entreats the older son to come in, the parable ends.
Yeah.
But our scene didn't.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
I'll bet the older son took a pole and
hit the father.
Yeah.
That's right. He killed the father.
Yeah.
And people said, well, how would you understand that? Well, if you look at the beginning of those three parables in Luke 15, Jesus talks about the Pharisees,
right,
the sinners, and himself. And the Pharisees, after he rose Lazarus from the dead, that was their last straw. And they therefore condemned him to death and made a plan to crucify him. So it's really kind of interesting reading the Bible. And I love reading. Yeah, an individual yesterday showed a book he had just written on law and gospel I got to get a hold of. I might even bring him in and interview him. But the fact of the matter is, law and gospel is the key thing.
Oh, yes.
To understanding.
You talked about apparent contradictions.
That's right.
A lot of them can be removed by law and gospel.
Sure. Yeah, in the sermon today, I mentioned the one where Jesus says to the rich man, go sell all that you have, then you'll have treasure in heaven. Well, we don't believe that.
No.
That we get to heaven by that. But
he was
Jesus
giving him the law.
The law. The man doesn't think he's a sinner.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not a sinner? Well, Jesus finds an area where he is sinning in, namely his love for money.
Right.
And then tells him the law in that area.
And he goes away sorrowfully.
Exactly. And the disciples are totally confused. Who then can be saved?
Who can be saved?
Well, actually, with
man, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
But not with God.
Yes. With God, all things are possible. So, I tell you, if you're not in a Lutheran church, you're hearing some kind of false teaching. I've said that many a time. Maybe your pastor isn't very doctrinal, and therefore he doesn't teach doctrinal things, and you won't hear the false teaching. But I have challenged people to write me and give me an example or tell me a denomination, and I'll tell you where the false teaching is. Like, how would you like to be in the Presbyterian church that doesn't believe it's the body and blood of Christ? How would you like to be in the Baptist church where they refuse to baptize infants? I mean, this is...
Yeah, those are crucial.
Those are
truths.
Crucial things. I'm not saying these people aren't saved because
right.
they still believe Jesus
right.
is their Savior.
That's right.
But where they...
But they're missing a lot of the comfort that God wants us to have.
That really hit it on the head. So, let's see what other gems... Stanza 3.
It was a false, misleading dream that God in his law had given, that sinners could themselves redeem and by their works gain heaven. The law is but a mirror bright to bring the inbred sin to light that lurks within our nature.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It's a clear teaching of what's called the second use of the law, which is accusing us of our sin.
Yeah, I like that opening line. It's a false, misleading dream that God His law that God's given us His law that we could redeem ourselves. A false and misleading dream. Indeed, it is.
Yeah, in fact, two occasions before where I preached here, I talked about nightmares. I love nightmares because when you wake up, they're not true.
Oh, I know.
But
you talk about gospel, right?
Every false religion is a nightmare. It's
yeah.
a false dream.
Yeah.
And it's a dream that you're saved by your grace, saved by your works, not by grace through faith. I mean, every one of these verses are just so biblical. and really touch on law and gospel. I'll do four. From sin our flesh could not abstain. Sin held its sway unceasing. The task was useless and in vain. Our guilt was ever increasing. None can remove sin's poisoned dart or purify our guileful heart. So deep is our corruption. If that's not preaching law, I don't know what is. And the vast majority of people in this country would disagree with that verse.
Right. They think, well, I'm not all that bad. You know, especially that last one. So deep is our corruption. We are blind, spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. We are thoroughly, thoroughly tainted with our sinful nature. And a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not that bad.
There's six verses left. So far, we haven't heard the gospel. So I think we should do one more verse, verse 5, the next one, and see if the gospel's there.
Yet as the law must be fulfilled, or we must die despairing, Christ came and has God's anger stilled, our human nature sharing. He has for us the law obeyed, and thus the Father's vengeance stayed, which over us impended. See,
that is the essence of the Reformation, that we're saved by grace, and what God did in the person and work of Jesus Christ is that he fulfilled the law for us, and then he exchanges that for our sin.
That righteousness for our sin.
Isn't that something?
And he stayed the Father's vengeance. He took it upon himself on the cross.
What does stay mean?
Well, he's put a halt to it by his own righteousness that he won for us on the cross.
Exactly. And that is the essence of the cross. A lot of people think that when you become a Christian, you stop sinning. And that's how you can tell you're a Christian. No. When you become a Christian, you are no longer held accountable for your sin. There's no evidence of that at all.
No. God looks at us through the righteousness of Christ.
He sees
not a sinner, not the sinner that we are, but he sees us as a saint because of Christ's righteousness.
And because of that righteousness, we're able to come and take the very body and blood of Christ within us.
Right.
In fact, I've often said the only people allowed to come to the Lord's Supper are sinless saints from the point of view of God.
By the grace of God, right.
Yes. And there's no evidence for that. It's because we don't live by sight. We live by faith. The longer you're in a congregation, the more aware you become as to how truly sinful people are.
Right. Oh, yes.
Yes. And is that true in marriage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The more you realize how sinful your wife is.
No, the more she realizes what a sinner I am.
I knew you would switch that around.
You betcha.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to go down and preach right now, but I think we've got 9 more verses they can listen to.
I think we ought to let them hear it.
And so we shall. Thank you so much for being with us today, Mark. And we'll look forward to next Tuesday. At this point, we'll return to the hymn.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.